It's Evan and Kiki. Afternoons on The Fan 101.9 FM.
We're evaluating. We might be okay, and maybe we'll do something because we could make the postseason. That's gone.
Stream Evan and Kiki live or on demand with the Odyssey app and podcast the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Life calls wife in. Hey, how we doing on this Friday morning? McMonagle here with you. I got you for one more hour. And when I say one more hour, I mean one more hour. 888-808-1019. Got you to the warm-up show. Rami on the other side. Taking your phone calls for another hour as we've been talking mainly about the Mets. A little bit of the, you know, defending myself on the Ohtani conversation, what happened on the morning show, I guess now yesterday morning, and the best athlete and the best baseball player of all time. If you want to still call me on that, feel free, I suppose. But we all know who it is. It's Tony Gwynn. No, it's Pete Rose. Pete Rose. You guys make me laugh. Tell you who it's not. It's not anybody on the Mets right now, and it's not Hawk Tua Girl, that's for sure. As everyone's up in an uproar about who threw out the first pitch, I'm more concerned about the blown five-run lead. I'm more concerned about this offense being 2-for-11 with running the scoring position in this game and doing nothing after the fourth inning and allowing this Oakland A's team to come into your building after you were swept out in Seattle to come home and lose 2 out of 3 to a lousy RA. I know they're not the worst thing ever. I know they're better than they've been. They're still the A's. And their best hitter was off having a baby. Congratulations to him and his family. But Rooker wasn't even there. And this Met team, 11 walks. The bullpen continues to be a major problem, especially when the manager is going to put in their best reliever, who's a weapon, no doubt, in Buto. Like a legitimately big-time weapon who can be used a bunch of different ways. He can come in and get you out of a jam. He can give you 3 innings in relief and get you from a short outing from your starter all the way to Diaz, your closer. Like, he is a weapon. And when you have a weapon like that who comes in, gives you lengths, but doesn't pitch for a couple of days, you have to be a lot more, you know, sure and pinpoint on when you use him. And the idea, I know he hadn't thrown in a couple of days. I know they've been losing lately. But you're down 7-1 against the A's in the first game of this series, and he has Buto go a couple innings, and now he's unavailable when you need him. This bullpen's not good enough to just use, you know, your only, really, your most dynamic weapon willy-nilly. It's just, you have to have that guy ready. And I understand that, you know, Quintana, a lot of the blame falls to him in this start. The pitching wasn't good in this game. And Quintana as well, at one point he was like, it was 50-50, his ball strike ratio. Walked too many guys. Didn't challenge guys. You know, 4-5 pitch walks to the bottom of the lineup. Blade gets him on a hanging breaking ball against the lefty for a grand slam to get them right back into this game, and the bullpen blows it. And the offense continues to do nothing. And yeah, the manager as well as Buto, he also pinch hits Alvarez for McNeil in the seventh inning, and not only does it hurt them there, but that spot in the lineup comes all the way back around in the ninth inning in the final at bat of the game. And I, you know, all right, maybe you don't against the lefty in the seventh when McNeil typically his career has not been a guy who can't hit lefties. You bring in the right-handed hitter, okay, it happens to be a young catcher who's struggling offensively mightily, and his spot in the lineup comes back around for the ninth against Miller, and now instead of having Jeff McNeil with an opportunity to tie the game and put the ball in play and have a Jeff McNeil at bat, you got Alvarez who's been struggling. Now he hits the ball hard right at the center fielder. And the Mets, who right now, and here's the story about the Mets, this wild card is running away from them. It was 3 weeks ago. They were about to take on the Atlanta Braves for the third time of a 4-game set with an opportunity to take over the first wild card. They are now 6.5 games back of the first wild card because San Diego and Arizona don't lose. They're 9-1 over their last 10. They are 2 games behind Atlanta. They're battling for one spot. Forget forget San Diego and Arizona. I know the Mets in the next few weeks, or you know, after the Baltimore series coming up after the Miami series, you're gonna go out on the road and play four against San Diego and three against Arizona. Good luck. It just feels like right now they're battling, along with San Francisco, who's a game and a half back, and Cincinnati is two games back. They're battling for one spot. And this is an Atlanta Braves team that's proven. This is an Atlanta Braves team that, even without Acuna, won a World Series, wins this division year in and year out. This offense is far better than it's performed. They just took three out of four from San Francisco, and it feels like they're playing better baseball, or about to. That's what this team has done over the last couple of years, including 2 years ago, when they finally caught you at the end of the season to win the division. And now you got to battle them for one spot when it seemed like 3 weeks ago you were right there for your choice of wild card position. Things have changed. The landscape of the National League has changed, and you can't afford to lose these games. And I understand the talking point that will be who threw out the first pitch. I don't give a damn. And is it an opportunity to say LOL Mets? Of course it is. Did they put themselves in that position? Of course. Is it typical Mets to put Acuña girl to throw out first pitch and then blow the game? Of course. Of course. And out come all the jokes and all the memes and all the Met fans who are struggling to hang on and you know, trying to desperately to have this team figure out a way to make the playoffs, now got to defend themselves and be embarrassed in some way and be mocked and laughed at. Yeah, it sucks. But you know what? Who cares? I care about this team. And I care about this offense that's supposed to be the driving force, because we can talk about Buto in the bullpen and we can talk about the rotation. It's not good enough to get you anywhere anyway. Maybe it's good enough not to kill you. But there's only one driving force of the New York Mets, and it's this lineup. And as disappointing as Quintana has been, and as much as you were relying on him with the Kodai Senga injury to kind of be your ace, he's been nothing of the sort. You know what he is, and you know what Severino's going to give you for the most part, and you know what Minaya's going to give you. Peterson's probably been on the best stretch of anybody. Like, you know what this rotation is. It's a bunch of mid. It's a bunch of third and fourth starters, and maybe Severino being a two if he's on his game. And you know what this bullpen is. It's this lineup that's supposed to carry you, and other than the latest two-hitter, Vientos, hitting monster shots the opposite way, he didn't get much. And yet again, Pete Alonso, hate to pick on him, but he's there in the ninth inning with an opportunity in the seventh as well, but he's there in the ninth inning with an opportunity to end this game, an opportunity to get the Mets a key win, an opportunity to at least prolong the ninth, get a guy in third base, drive him in, score a run, hit a home run, win a game, do something. And even though he got two walks in this game and he had four hits the night before, it just feels like that doesn't, you know, the walks and the on base, his season's done. It's never going to be a major positive. But he's got an opportunity if he comes through in the big spots the rest of the way, and that was one and nothing. And it's just not good enough. And now they're going to take on a Miami Marlins team that, let's be honest, has caused more pain to this Met franchise than a lot of other teams. And if you look at their record in the East, it stinks, except when they play the Mets. This is a huge, huge series for the New York Mets. Is after this, it don't get easy. After this three-game set against Miami, you are taking on Baltimore, who's tied for first in the American League East and has the second-best record in baseball, a half a game behind Cleveland. And then you go on the road on the West Coast to take on the two hottest teams in baseball. I mean, that is not an easy 10-game stretch. You better bank three wins before you head out. 1019. McMonagle here with you. Let's go to Robbie in Lake Success. What's up, Robbie? How you doing?
You know, it's good to get up and hear you. I'm going to go to this fan fest. I've been hearing so much about it.
Yeah,
so,
it should be fun.
Yeah, I want to get my run in before I get over there, because I'll be hanging out most of the day there and see what this is all about. But here's my thoughts. Number one, as far as with the Giants, and I'm going to just throw this out there, and we'll talk football, hopefully. I think they're going to be a lot better than people think, mainly because of the parity. I think there's enough there on this team, as long as Jones, and not the cliche nonsense, but I just think because of parity and the upgrade on the defense, I really believe the Giants are going to win like 9 games. I and that's not such a big deal anymore because parity, and more parity. And I think they're just going to be good enough to knock off some games and win enough games to have that kind of thing. I don't see this team as a 5-6 lean team, like, you know. And I'm not a
gambler. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I hear you. I mean, so much is going to depend. I mean, the strength of the team is the front seven on defense. And right. We'll see if the offense can do enough. Now, it is the first time, without question, Daniel Jones, who, I mean, I don't hate
and to. I think he'll be okay.
Yeah,
I really
mean, I think he's okay.
Enough to win 9 games.
He's done it before. Like, he has won 9 games before. He's it's plausible he wins 9 games, no doubt. But again, now coming off the injury, I'm scared he's going to get hurt. I do love the beard and I love the attitude. I have to admit. He's had kind of a chip.
They just throw all my preseason nonsense out. Now, I want to talk about baseball at one point. Number one, I heard that nonsense yesterday. You're entitled to whatever person you want to say. My feeling is Aaron Judge, in the modern times of me watching baseball, the last 25 years of me watching, he's the best player I've ever seen at this particular point in his career. He's defensively incredible. He's so clutch. And I'm not even a Yankee fan, but he's a likable guy. He's a beast. It's so easy to say that. Connie, I know where you were coming with that because he was two positions in that argument I guess you had with Brett over there. And in theory, when he's on both ends of the spectrum, he is the best.
Yeah.
Okay, but because he was showing he could be the best, but now he's injured and he can't throw and can't pitch. Now,
I know, but he's the best hitter in the National League. He's going to win the MVP as a DH.
I understand that, but and I'm not disagreeing with it. This is not a debate.
In my opinion,
it was Willie Mays, from what I saw at the end of his career, I was told by my father, he was the best all-around player. He did everything.
Gotcha.
But that's 100,000 years ago, and 99% of your people that are listening never even saw him play one game on this station. So I can't even go that far back. But I can see Aaron Judge's. Now, I want to ask you a question, which is driving me crazy about baseball, all right? And it's not my favorite sport, and sports are not really that important to me anymore. Yet I'm calling a sports station because I'm just getting old.
I got you.
Here's what drives me crazy. When Dave Ruggedi became from a starter after he pitched a no-hitter, and then he became a great reliever,
right.
And Smoltz became a great reliever. Why is it that we in important games it's going to happen in the playoffs because you only got to win a few series, and that's where it's going to be important. Why is it in key games you don't throw a starter in there? Like a guy who's got like... maybe he's not pitching for like 3 days. Throw him in a key point because these closers all stink. Every single one of them. They stink. They're horrible. They throw the same nonsense all the time and they blow so many games. Why don't you put the starter in who is basically not going to be pitching for a couple of days? Give him a mop-up inning. Those guys usually, when they start a game, they don't usually give up a run in the first inning. Think about where I'm going with that. Your thoughts, and I think I gave a... what I think is something been driving me nuts, and I haven't heard anybody talk about that.
Oh, well, you got it, Robbie. Thank you for the call. I think a lot of people have talked about putting Luis Hill in the bullpen. Now, you're talking about keeping the guy in the rotation and on throw days where they throw a bullpen anyway, putting him out in the bullpen and letting him come in. And I mean, it's been done before. And if the game is big enough, certainly you're right in the playoffs, they'll put a guy in the... we've seen that a million times, where a starter goes out to the bullpen if they need it for a big game. But typically those bullpens are also to work on things, not focused on getting people out. It's focused on, you know, making sure maybe you're working on a new grip or something, or you're just making sure your mechanics are locked in. The idea that every time a pitcher is going to throw a bullpen on his third day or whatever his throw day is, that you're going to have to throw him in and ask him to get outs... I don't know if I love it. Now, again, big spot, big game, down the stretch. Maybe the bullpen's in disarray and you got nobody. Sure. I don't think it could be a regular thing. I don't think every day you can account for a guy in the bullpen being the starter whose throw day is that day. Like, I don't think, today is, Monday Marcus Stroman's in the bullpen because it's his throw day. And then the next day, it's Gerrit Cole's in the bullpen because it's his throw day. And then, like, it's not like you can count on a bullpen spot to be that pitcher who happens to be on his throw day. I think that's a bit much. Those guys like to work on things. They don't have to focus on getting people out. And I just don't know how effective they would be at it. And then you might have to push a guy or put him in. I don't know. But I agree with you that it's going to get talked about with Luis Gil because of innings limits. It's going to get talked about with Clark Schmidt, possibly, because the Yankees don't have enough good arms in the back end of the bullpen, especially if Hamilton and Efros and whoever else don't come back and aren't effective and Leiter keeps pitching like this, and Weaver, who hasn't hit innings like this out of the bullpen at least, starts to become ineffective. Like, yeah, I think there is a lot of talk about transitioning a starter into the reliever, but not in the role you're talking about in general for teams to use it as a practice all year long. I don't know about that. John and Maspeth, what's up, John?
Yeah, how's it going, C-Mac?
What's up, buddy?
I was listening to your argument about Emmanuel
Class A and Clay Holmes, right? Yes.
Yeah. The difference is this, Emmanuel Clase's best pitch is his cutter, which he throws 81% of the time, right?
Right.
Hitters are hitting 160 against that pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Clay Holmes throws his sinker 55% of the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what the batting average is against that sinker?
Yeah, no, it's high.
342.
Right.
You know, you can't have the pitch that you're throwing the most,
mm-hmm.
hitters hitting 342 against a pitch you're throwing over half the time as a closer. They're going to hit that pitch.
No, I mean, listen, I understand. I am not saying that Clay Holmes is as good. What I'm saying is I hear a lot of people say you have to miss bats. That's what I'm hearing. Now, he's got to work on his sinker being more effective, and I do think, and it won't explain away the idea that the batting average is that high. I'm not trying to pretend it does. But there is you watch the games, there are a ton of rollers that they're hits and ground balls. Like, that's the other thing. It's a sinker. So ground balls, and especially the way, if you've seen scoring in today's age, like anything that's not a ground ball right to a reliever is a base hit. So, I mean, you put a ball in play, you throw a sinker, you get ground balls that, no question, sometimes they find holes. That's ground balls. A cutter's a little bit different. But I'm going against the idea, because I hear it all the time and people just say it flat out, as if I don't care about numbers like you just said about batting average. I don't care about anything else. Clay Holmes is too reliant on putting the ball in play. Clay Holmes does not miss enough bats. That's what I hear all the time.
It's not that he doesn't strike enough people out.
Mm-hmm.
It's he doesn't have that pitch that can put people away, is what it is.
I know, but does Class A have it? Because he's striking out less people. He's getting less swing and miss.
I mean,
all I'm saying is we're looking at one thing and saying that eliminates him, and it's not a fact. I'm not saying Clay Holmes doesn't need to be better. He does. Clay Holmes needs to be better. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we talk about it as if this is what happens when your closer relies on contact. This is what happens when your closer doesn't miss enough bats. He needs to be taken out of the ninth inning because he doesn't strike people out. And in today's day and age, you have to strike people out. I constantly hear it. Constantly. And I'm just saying that part of it is incorrect. And when Clay Holmes is on his game, his sinker is as good as any pitch. Like, he's got great stuff. You've seen his breaking ball. His breaking ball is grown leaps and bounds. And he hasn't been that wild this year. He's been beat a lot of times on soft contact, other times, you know, just bad, no doubt. And he walks too many guys, number one difference between him and Class A. But just the idea that Clay Holmes doesn't come in and boop, 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 just strike everybody out doesn't mean he can't be closer. Because the best closer in the game strikes out less people than Clay Holmes. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett? How are you?
Chris, I was listening to you guys talk on the morning show yesterday, and I got to get something off my chest. Is that little weasel Jerry in the studio? I want to talk to him.
No, Jerry's not. The little weasel Jerry is not in the studio, no. I don't know why you would call Jerry a weasel. What did Jerry do? What did Jerry do to be called a weasel?
Yeah, I've had enough of Jerry, but I'll say it to you.
I was going to call
the next show, but yeah, I'm going to say it through you, and if he ever wants to say it. Every time my name is brought up on any show, he always has something to say negative.
Well,
when he tells you, I don't know why you answer his calls. When he wouldn't even reference my name on the Zoo call. And then when he said, when I call, he checks out. But yet then he goes to my clips. And a couple of months ago, when he filled in the morning show, I called. He probably has a short memory. We talked. Okay, so Jerry, listen, buddy, do me a favor.
All right, now,
Hold on, hold on.
No, you said enough. I'm not going to have you attack Jerry. You're not going to send like statements through me. I'm sure Greg is killing me right now for not letting that happen. But no, I'm not going to allow you come on and like take shots at Jerry.
You know what? Drop dead. Seriously.
There you go. You got your point across. Jerry said what he said. You heard him. I'm not going to let you make a declarative statement and call out Jerry Recco. I mean, come on. Stop it now. You want to call Jerry now? I think he might take your phone call just to tell you that right to your face. I mean, come on. You're Brett in Long Island. You're going to call out Jerry Recco. Stop. Come on. I appreciate the phone call. Talk to me. Call me up. Get me all riled up. That's fine. Call me the weasel. You got your point across. I'm sorry I didn't let you just to declaratively make a statement and call out Jerry Recco, Brett. I think you might get your opportunity. Greg wants to have you in the studio. I don't know if you heard that. I don't know what you're so mad about, to be honest with you. I don't know what he's so mad about. He might, your trollish ways have Mike got you a co-hosting gig. He was angry there. Jerry's got a real problem. Sorry, I through my show, I didn't want you to call out Jerry. Call Jerry, maybe he'll let you on. I believe there's no out today. He'll probably take more phone calls than if they do at all. So try again. But you got your point across. But I wasn't going to let him just make a, Jerry, if you're listening, I wasn't going to let you do a wrestling promo and call out Jerry Recco. 888-808-1019, I'm sure. I would think G is probably disappointed at me now for not letting it happen, but I don't know, felt icky. 426, McMonagle here with you on the fan, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019, and Jerry is not a weasel. Even though he did tell me to, shove it right up my keister yesterday. I don't know if I appreciated that, but that was fine. It's okay. 888-808-1019, McMonagle here with you on the fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Getting kind of dangerous. Feels like it's a loaded gun. My mind is turning like a cloud of dust. My heart always wants to run. Oh, oh, oh. If you want to
If you've been to Yankee Stadium and saw the great entrance, that is Clay Holmes. You would know this is the Clay Holmes entrance song, White Horse by Chris Stapleton. And it doesn't have the, doesn't have the cachet of Timmy Trumpets. It's actually pretty weird because it's really soft the first couple seconds. It's an interesting intro. And then they play like a lot of almost like lava lamp type stuff on the scoreboard. Interesting. But the song kicks ass. 888-808-1019. Big Chris Stapleton guy. 888-801-1. Let's try that one more time. It's getting close to 5 a.m. Everything becomes a tongue twister at 4:34, I promise you. 888-808-1019. Back to the calls. Danny and Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing today?
Good morning to you, sir. What's going on?
Doing good, man. I'm excited to pick up Madden 25 today. I played Madden in years.
Is Madden got released today?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I did the pre-order yesterday.
Really? Did you? I talked about it earlier. I didn't get too many calls on the subject, but did you see they're making a John Madden movie, a bio on John Madden?
I didn't hear about that, but that sounds interesting.
Do you know who's going to play John Madden? And this is legit. This is really legit.
Who is?
Like, I'm not kidding. This is actually legit. Nicolas Cage.
Oh, he's great. I love him.
Oh, wow. It's not that I don't like him. I think he gets a little bit of a bad rap because he's gone through a stretch here of just making straight-to-DVD type movies, and like he'll take on anything. And as great as he's been, there's some roles where he's just, you know, over the top. But, I mean, he is one of the better actors going. He's won an Oscar. But do you see him as John Madden? It's just such weird casting. It just blows my mind. But
yeah.
I got to see it. Yeah, I got to see it.
I mean, he played good in Long Legs recently. He was really good, man.
Yeah, no, listen, and I'm not saying he's a bad actor by any stretch. He won an Academy Award. And I think he was great in a bunch of different things. But it's just John Madden? It just strikes me as a weird casting. But now I'm dying to see it. Good.
Yeah, me too. So I'm excited about the Yankee game today. Garrett Cole's pitching. They haven't announced who's pitching for the other team, but I got a feeling they got the edge, you know, because, you know, Cole had a great outing last time, you know, 10 strikeouts. I think he's going to definitely build on that. And I think the Yankee bats are going to be better. I hope they can solve the LOB, you know, because they've been leaving too many guys on base. I don't know what's going on with that. But overall, I think they're going to be all right. I think they'll sweep the Tigers. I don't see why not. But look at the matchups and everything and the hitters from the other teams. I think they got a good chance.
It's Stroman-Scoobal is the pitching matchup for the Sunday night game at Williamsport. That's a tough matchup. That's a tough pitching matchup. But besides that, look, I don't need sweeps. Just keep taking 2 of 3. That's it. I even said the same thing about the White Sox. I don't need to win all 3 games. I don't buy into the fact that you can't ever lose to the White Sox. They played the White Sox 6 times. They beat them 5. That's not good enough. It is what it is. So
I got one more thing. I always wanted to ask you, who's your favorite Yankee of all time? I never got to ask you.
My favorite Yankee of all time. I mean, I'm kind of partial to Judge at the moment. But no, growing up, my first love was Wade Boggs. My first love was Wade Boggs. When I started, my dad was a third baseman. I was playing third base. He was the Yankee third baseman when I started to watch the team in 93. I had no idea. I mean, I guess I don't remember now. Maybe I was aware of the Red Sox connection. It didn't bother me at all. It was Don Mattingly and Wade Boggs were my guys when I first started. But then, obviously, like every other, 40-year-old Yankee fan, I fell in love with the core that won all those championships. I guess it's Jeter. I don't. Crazy as it sounds, I don't have like a clear-cut favorite. Love them all. I really loved watching El Duque pitch. I was a big El Duque guy.
Yes, your favorite Yankee, and you said El Duque.
I didn't say El Duque.
No, but you brought
up
El Duque.
I said Judge. I said Wade Boggs. I said Don Mattingly. Yes, I brought up El Duque. I was thinking about pitchers then. I loved watching El Duque pitch. He was huge in the playoffs. You knew you were going to get a great start. I loved El Duque. The story, the whole nine. Loved Matsui. Paul O'Neill. I mean, it's hard for me. I don't have a favorite. I really don't. They're like your children. But I clearly have a favorite child, and he knows it. Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night,
bro. Tonight is your night, bro. What's going on?
All right. All-time Yankee for me was Greg Nettles. I don't know. I loved him when I was a kid. I was just he was always adjusting, making that line down the line at short. I mean, at third, you know, when he set up, I don't know, I fell in love with third base because of him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was I figured I'd throw that answer out there.
Not
what
sure,
I'm
please.
Excited about.
Yes.
I'm excited about you taking the boys down to Baltimore for a weekend rendezvous with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the boys. Is this the first time to Baltimore?
Yeah, my first time to Baltimore.
Oh, really? First time for you, too. That's beautiful.
Well, maybe not. I've driven through Baltimore. I've never stopped, and I've never been to Camden. So I'm looking. I'm looking forward to it.
There are sometimes you want to drive right through, but for the baseball game, it's a great place to visit. I think they're going to love it.
We're looking forward to it. The weather is supposed to be, the weather on Sunday is supposed to be even worse. So I'm hoping they'll try and play through it. It's the last time the Red Sox go to Camden. So I'm hoping they try and play through it. Because even if it rains a little bit, and like as long as we're in the building for a lot, it's not a Yankee game. If we get in the building, get to see a lot of the stadium, you know,
you eat one day,
eat a couple,
one day in and out.
Yeah, one day in and out. Yep. Okay, the next, cool. the yeah, next morning. No, the next morning I leave for. No, the next morning I live for. I leave for Myrtle Beach. I mean, I might. We might get there earlier than the game, and you know, walk around a little bit. But
yeah.
It's a one day thing. Yep.
Well, that's awesome. So, look, I wanted to say, have a great time. I love when you get on the morning show and state your case, Bobby Bonilla. Barry Bonds.
Yes.
I just love it. Stay true to yourself, my man.
I stay true to myself. I appreciate that. The morning show, I felt like I had to call in. They didn't call me. I called in because I just felt like my honor was being questioned and my mental capacity. Which is probably a fairer question than my honor. I was half listening. They were talking about hitters. And I think part of it, too, is I had it in my mind to say Barry Bonds because they're talking about Judge and the intentional walks and the best hitter since Barry Bonds. Like, I just feel like over the last week, Barry Bonds and Judge have been the conversation a little bit. And when he was talking about, I just, in my mind, was answering the question of who's the best hitter, no matter how he worded it. But that's fine. Either way. I clearly believe, as I argued a little bit this morning, I clearly believe Ohtani is the best player that I've ever seen. And in my opinion, I believe him to be the best player who ever lived. I don't think anyone's ever played the game of baseball. I know the career isn't that long, but like I'll ask anyone who plays the longevity game with me. Like anybody who says, well, it's only been a couple of years, you can't call him the best. Like, so is there nothing someone can do? If Steve Nebraska from the movie The Scout came and played for the Yankees and had a season where he hit 85 home runs, drove in 200 runs, and threw four perfect games on his way to having a 0.2 ERA, and he did something absolutely outrageous and was the greatest pitcher who ever had the best pitching season of all time and the best offensive season of all time. Like, is that not enough, as crazy as that is? And I know I'm going out there, but I'm just saying, is there no limit of how good someone could be in one year? Where you could say, wow, that's the greatest baseball player I've ever seen. That's the best baseball player who ever lived. That's how I feel about Ohtani. No one has ever hit the pinnacle of the sport the way he has. That's it. We have yet to see someone compete and someone play the game of baseball at a higher level than him. He's playing it at the highest of levels. That's it. I'm not saying his career or like you want to make it about, oh, he's only like so many people call and get mad about it. He's only done it a couple of years. I don't care. I don't care if it was 2 weeks. It's the highest level we've ever seen. That's what I'm saying. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's going on? Nice show as always.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
You know, the only thing I have with Ohtani is that, you know, when you say great, does it have to do with winning? Because he was with Trout, they won nothing at all. You know? So zero there. Now, if you look at this year, for example, you said he's going to win the MVP, probably eighth, right?
Yes.
If you look at Judge versus him.
Yes.
Judge has
far better.
Clearly better numbers this year than he does.
No doubt.
Not even close. Let me finish real quick.
Yeah.
296 batting average for Ohtani, .333 for Judge.
Right.
That's 37 points higher, right? On-base percentage, .390 versus .467.
Yep.
77% higher. Home runs, .37 versus .43. That's six more homers. RBIs, 20 more RBIs.
Yep.
Plus, Ohtani doesn't play the field. Now, to say he's the best player ever, we're not even sure he's ever going to pitch again. So, I don't agree. I like Judge better.
I
would take Judge.
I don't know how you could when he's pitching and healthy. And let's be honest, yeah, you're right.
Well, we don't know that's going to happen.
I don't know Judge is going to stay healthy next year. He's had an injury.
C-Mac, we can only talk about what we see right now. Ohtani can't pitch now.
No, I get that. Yeah, no, Ohtani
is playing now.
Yeah, but again, he's going to be the first ever DH to win the MVP. He's the best hitter in the National League. He's the second best hitter in baseball this year. He's arguably the second best hitter in baseball behind Judge. Like, he's right there. He's the best hitter in the National League. He's going to win the MVP without pitching. And when he pitches, he's an ace. Like, what are we talking about? No, but I'm talking about the two previous years when he was pitching like that. That was the best baseball player whoever played the game. You can't get better than what he did last year and 2 years ago. Those 2 years are the pinnacle of the sport. That's it. That's how I feel. He's good.
If you were going to pick a player, would you take him over Judge?
I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a Yankee fan, and you're right. You don't know. If I knew he was going to be healthy, I think most GMs in this game, including probably Brian Cashman. No, he's coming back from Tommy John. He's already done it. Like, guys come back from Tommy John all the time. I mean, it's not that big an if. It's an if that when's the last time Judge put two healthy seasons back-to-back together?
Recently, right now.
When?
Right?
No, last year, how many games did he miss with the toe injury? How many years when's the last time Judge put back-to-back completely healthy 150, 155-game seasons together? He hasn't done it his entire career.
But if you look at the last 4 years, he's averaged 137 games a year.
Yeah, and if you look at the last 4 years, Otani's won two MVPs and has been an ace of a staff and hit almost as good as Judge.
And when Judge hit 300 homers, was Otani even close to getting
No, he hasn't played as many years, but he hits almost as many home runs. Like he's hitting 40 home runs a year. How many home runs is he going to hit this year? He's got 37. He's on his way to 50.
And what's Judge on his way to?
You're trying to make this a Judge thing. He also pitches. Like, what don't you? I mean, I know moving forward, I don't know if he will. Fine. In 2 years, I'll tell you, Judge has been the better player for the last 3 years. That's fine. He judges the better player this year. No doubt. But he also puts up almost Judge numbers right there, as close as anybody else in the game. And he also is an ace of a staff. Like, what are we arguing? I don't get it.
It's not an argument. It's just my opinion.
You're saying moving forward that you can count on Judge more than you can count on Soto. Otani. Fine. Okay. I'm not going to argue with you. That's fair, I suppose. I'm saying the last 2 years, even as great as Judge has been, the guy is almost as good an offensive player, and he's an ace of a staff. He led the league in batting average against. He's the hardest pitcher in the league to get a hit on. Like, what are we talking about? He's the hardest pitcher to hit in the sport. That doesn't count? In 2022, right? In 2022, he pitched to a 2.0. He was 15-9. He won 15 games for the lousy Angels. And you're right, they don't win. He won 15 games for the lousy Angels. He had a 2.33 ERA. He had a whip of 1.0, and he led the league in strikeouts per nine at 11.9. He struck out 12 batters per game, had an ERA of 2.33, and had a whip just over one. And then offensively, he had 34 home runs, 95 RBIs. Like, that's out of this world crazy good. Out of this world.
What is it? I didn't really look this up. Can I ask you a question? What is his career stats as a pitcher? Not that 1 year. What's his career?
His career stats as a pitcher, he is 38-19. So he's almost 20 games over 500. He's got a 3.01 ERA, and he strikes out 11.4 per game with a whip of 1.082. He is an excellent starting pitcher. Excellent.
How many years did he pitch?
He's pitched 5 years.
5 years, okay.
He is an excellent starting pitcher. Excellent. He's not just kind of good. He's not just okay. He's not just serviceable. He's an excellent starting pitcher. He's got a 3.0 ERA over the last 5 years. You want to go look at Gerrit Cole's? I bet you it's not much better. So that's what he's averaged as a pitcher. You want to go career? 3.01 ERA, striking out 11.4 with a whip of 1.082. Now you want to go through his batting career? Here's his batting career real quick. Batting career. For 162 games, his average is 41 home runs, 103 RBIs, a batting average of .277, and an OPS of .935. He has a career OPS as a hitter of .935 and an ERA of 3. I really don't think I need to say another word about it. 450. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
Manning takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
See the people I know in the bright light of day.
All right, real quick, the last 2 minutes before the top of the hour. Let's get to as many calls as we can. EJ in Allentown. What's up, EJ?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good. Hate to go this far back on you, but a couple hours back, you were comparing the defense of Alvarez to Gary Sanchez.
Yes.
I recall Gary Sanchez. His problem wasn't the pass balls as much as that there were guys taking two bases him on a pass ball. He just didn't hustle. At least Alvarez.
No. Yeah, no, I don't. Nobody was taking. Yeah, it happened occasionally. It wasn't an issue where people were taking two bases. I don't know. I don't think that was.
I'm not saying all the time, but you could clearly see he was dogging it, man. He dogged it all the time. I think
I think people felt he was lazy with the pass balls. I'm not trying to say that Alvarez is as bad at the pass balls. Excuse me. My only comparison to the two is their stances and how they're being coached. They're being coached not to worry about pass balls.
Listen, maybe so, but you know, let's go to Alvarez's offense. People are complaining about his lack of power too. He had thumb surgery 8 weeks ago. I mean, you know, this kid's 23 years old.
I understand that, but he hit five. His home runs are like, you know, way, way down. There's a guy who was on pace.
Well,
I'm just. I mean, listen. You want to be happy with him right now? He's hurting you.
I'm not
offensively.
I'm happy with him.
He's terrible.
He's a 22-year-old kid in the middle of a pennant race.
I get it.
And he's trying to be a leader of a team.
And he has been. You know, and he has been good offensively. But it's. I mean, defensively, and he's helped with the staff. And you look at the numbers when he came back and how much winning they did. But like, if you want to just make excuses for him, fine. He's struggling. And I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'll never be a good player. But you know, struggling. Andy and Iowa. What's up, Andy?
Hey, C-Mac.
What's up, bud?
Not much, man. How are you?
I'm great. Real quick, we got to go.
Great. It's just the greatest baseball player of all time. It's just fascinating. I think it's just an amazing conversation. Anyway, don't have time.
Yeah, sorry. Had to cut you off. It's Ohtani. Don't worry about it. It's an easy answer. All right. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Rami on the other side, thank you. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Have a great week. I'll see you in a little bit. Taking the fam down to Disney in August. If you thought I was stupid for my Ohtani take, that's right. I'm taking my kids to Orlando in August. I'll see you when I get back. Have a great week. Let's go, Yankees. Let's go, Mets. Get back into this thing. Some things might be answered by the time I do get back. But everybody, have a great day. Have a great weekend. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.